So, did the Earth shift on its axis last week? As George Stephanopoulos noted on ABC, the week began with a call to take down the Confederate flag and ended with the raising of rainbow flags. But we also watched a black president eulogize African Americans gunned down by white supremacist hatred, a reminder that taking down a flag doesn't really bury the past. And over the weekend, foes of marriage equality pledged to fight the Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage in the same way they see pro-life activists successfully eroding the court's Roe v. Wade decision, legalizing abortion, bit by bit and slowly over time. So how important and enduring will last week be when viewed by history? Julian Zelizer is professor of history and public affairs at Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School. His most recent book is The Fierce Urgency of Now, Lyndon Johnson, Congress and the Battle for the Great Society. Boy, if ever one man was viewed in different ways over time, it's Johnson. Julian joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And so what say you about last week? Some are saying they don't recall a week like it for lurching change from, as we said, the flag to the Supreme Court decisions.
Well, it's certainly an important week for liberals. You know, you have gains in civil rights with same-sex marriage. You had the protection of certain social policies, both ACA and the Fair Housing Act. And you obviously had a president who seemed energized and moved and talking and speaking with a kind of spirit that he seems to have lacked for a while. So it was an important week. These gains are enormous and very significant. But I do think, as you suggested, you could see some underlying limits to the gains of the week and some potential backlash areas where the politics will continue to play out.
Well, first, before we go there, talk about other times where, you know, weeks that occur to you, those of us with shorter memories, you know, but weeks that were as big as this or bigger?
Well, certainly the first few months of 1965 are in many ways like this if you were liberal. This is after Democrats have landslide victories for the presidency and Congress in 64, and they're passing all kinds of bills at that time, Medicare, education reform, voting rights, and much more. And it seemed like if you were liberal in Congress, there had never been a time like this and that your opponents were on the defensive. So that took place over a series of months, but the feeling of euphoria was very similar.
Well, you say if you're a liberal, what if you're not? What if you are conservative? Is there a resonating week that matches this one?
Well, certainly you can pick a week between 1933 and 1935 when Franklin Roosevelt and the Democratic Congress start to remake what the government does and how much regulation you're going to have in the economy, ending in 1935 with the government giving legitimacy to unions, where many business leaders who were on the conservative end of the spectrum felt that the country was falling apart, felt that we were on the way to a socialist government, and felt that the time had come to really start to fight back. So that or the mid-1960s, conservatives certainly didn't see it with the same euphoria as the left.
Oh, but that's what I'm saying. Is there a week that conservatives can point to in history and have that same feeling of change in their direction?
Sure. July, it's a few weeks, but July and early August of 1965, again, Medicare, voting rights, a huge expansion of the federal government taking place between the start of the summer and the end in a way that many conservatives didn't think was possible just a few years earlier.
Well, and so I think I'm perhaps not making my point, but you seem to be making it for us. We're asking, is there a week that conservatives can point to and say they've had equally big wins history?
Sure. In 1981, I can't remember the exact week off the top of my head, when Reagan passes a huge tax cut after being elected, after conservatives are wondering what will he do, and he slashes the income tax. Many conservatives thought this was just a huge moment where the government was finally doing the right thing, eliminating parts of itself. So I think that was a big time for the right.
Right. A lot of celebration. But as you point to each of these, in many cases, there's also change that comes after change. So talk about what might happen now and then calls, for instance, for overturning Obamacare. Let's start there. The New York Times' David Leonhardt asked historians, and they pointed to Reconstruction, the move after the Civil War to re-enslave blacks, literally, through Jim Crow laws. But other than that, they said, you know, government mandates like Obamacare tend to endure. Your sense of history in that?
It's usually the case, not always the case. So in the mid-1960s, we had a Model Cities program, which provided federal funding to cities to try new projects to renew the inner city. And gradually, they became very controversial and faded away. In the Reagan presidency, in 1988, Congress passes a program, Medicare Catastrophic Care, which ultimately is dismantled the year after when there's such a backlash against it. So there are smaller examples than Reconstruction when government doesn't endure. Social Security for the first 15 years of its life was very small and it was almost dying by 1950. It was almost a program that was going to go away. And it took a lot of a big fight to get it to be what it is today. So it's true, generally, once programs, big programs are in place, they're hard to take away. But I would be careful to say it's impossible because we have examples of that.
Well, and some people think we are watching one right now. There's a call from conservatives like 33-year-old Ryan Anderson. He's at the Heritage Foundation. He says for people who are against the Supreme Court's marriage decision, look to pro-lifers. They put their hand to the plow, he writes. We are the fruit, young conservatives who are more against abortion than their parents. And he says the pro-life community stood up, responded to a bad court ruling, again meaning Roe v. Wade, and the same must now be done to dismantle same-sex marriage over time. Tell us more about what history says about dismantling programs.
Well, we've seen it with abortion where the right to abortion remains on the books, but the restrictions on using federal money, for example, for the provision of abortions has really been constrained since the mid-1970s. Conservatives have been very successful through that, through restrictions at the state and local level. And I think that's the kind of fight that you're going to see now, not necessarily on same-sex marriage, but issues like what kinds of benefits should be accorded to couples and workplace regulations. There's all kinds of areas that are unsettled. So we saw that with civil rights. Look, another area where policy was dismantled is the Voting Rights Act, which is no longer intact because of a Supreme Court ruling. So we've seen conservatives fight slow, gradual fights, and often they can at least chip away at major reforms, even if they can't get rid of them.
Well, and this brings us to President Obama's legacy and the lasting nature of his wins last week. Here's Newt Gingrich yesterday on Meet the Press. He had an exchange with the host, Chuck Dodd.
I think Obama has an enormous investment in the 2016 presidential campaign because he could be Franklin Roosevelt and change things permanently. Or he could be Woodrow Wilson and within 2 or 3 years have an amazing part of what he thinks.
Look, Ronald Reagan needed H.W. Bush to win that third term. Barack Obama needs Hillary Clinton for the same thing. All right, I got a little fun thing here for everybody.
So again, Chuck Todd with Newt Gingrich making the point that, again, what you're talking about, this the lasting nature of something might have something to do with the next presidency.
The next presidency and the next Congress. I think that's very important. You can even see it with President Obama. A lot of President Bush's counterterrorism program has remained intact, in part because a Democratic president left a lot of it in place. So what comes next, both in the White House and on Capitol Hill? Will Republican majorities shrink? Will Democrats be able to regain control of the Senate? Those are going to be enormously important questions for what the quote-unquote legacy of this president is.
And, you know, another factor, people change. We see that with President Obama, who was once against same-sex marriage. Now, again, reading David Leonhardt reminds us that Ronald Reagan made his bones, his conservative bones, on vowing to repeal Medicare, and then he pledges to preserve it years later.
Right. What happens are programs, once they're in effect, look much more appealing. Often conservatives don't feel politically they can attack them anymore. And many of their friends and many people in their community like the program. So Medicare was socialized medicine in 1965. Fast forward to 2010, and you have conservatives telling Obama, get your government hands off my Medicare. And that's not an uncommon story. So I think as the program kicks in, as the benefits start to disperse, that will give President Obama's programs the greatest traction.
Professor Julian Zelizer of Princeton, taking a look at the last week through an historian's viewpoint. Julian, thanks as always.
Thanks so much for having me.